You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Philip Rivers has announced his retirement. Our poll question, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? McLovin, update the poll results from the first hour.
Sorry, we pulled an audible. We did the Joe Flacco versus Phil Rivers poll.
All right, explain the Philip Rivers, Joe Flacco poll.
I'll let Paulie do the honors. Right, Paul.
Okay, whose career would you want and why? Phil Rivers, 63,000 yards, 421 touchdowns, 8-time Pro Bowler. Phil Rivers was 5-7 in the playoffs, never made it to the Super Bowl. Joe Flacco, 41,000 yards, 224 TDs, a lot less numbers. Zero Pro Bowl appearances, zero for Joe Flacco. He was 10-5 in the playoffs and is a Super Bowl MVP. Whose career would you want and why?
Philip Rivers. Because he played every Sunday. He was durable. You know, maybe he wasn't the most gifted quarterback, but he put up incredible numbers. And what, 8-time Pro Bowl player. You know, you're in the Brady era. It's like being in the Jordan era for Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing. You just, you know, your opportunities weren't going to. He had talent around him. You know, Gates is a Hall of Famer. LaDainian Tomlinson, a Hall of Famer. They should have had more success, but I would take Philip Rivers. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. You know, I will say with what we saw with Joe Flacco, Joe Flacco was a great, great postseason quarterback, or at least very good. But, all right, welcome to the program. Why don't we just change it to, is Philip Rivers the first ballot Hall of Famer?
Okay, we'll do that. And hour three, can we do who should be the starting quarterback for the Colts next year? Because I have no idea now.
Well, I don't think the Texans would trade Deshaun Watson within the division to the Colts. But it goes back to what I told you that I'd learned prior to the draft and then after the draft, that the Colts really love Jordan Love. And they were going to take him. And that's why the Packers caught wind of it. From what I was told, they went up and got Jordan Love. But the Colts would have their quarterback in waiting. At least that's what I was told. It was reinforced to me yesterday when I asked about this. If Rivers decides to retire, and I was told they would have had Jordan Love ready to go. Whether he's a NFL starting quarterback, I don't know. But in their minds, that the Colts liked Jordan Love. 877-3DP show, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Here's JJ Watt, a tweet on Philip Rivers. I'll never forget lining up for a play and Philip pointing to one of our linebackers and telling him he was lined up wrong based off the blitz we were about to run, and he was 100% correct about it. One of the smartest I ever played against and a hell of a competitor. That's JJ Watt on Philip Rivers. Rivers ranks fifth all time, 63,000 passing yards. The 11 quarterbacks with at least 50,000 career passing yards, he's the only one who never played in a Super Bowl. Most career passing yards never played in a Super Bowl. Philip Rivers at 63,000. Then it's Warren Moon, 49,000. Carson Palmer, 46. Vinny Testaverde, 46. Matthew Stafford, 45. Dan Fouts at 43,000. Yeah, Paul.
I was thinking, who would that compare to NBA-wise? You know, Barkley played in a series, title series. Malone played in the finals, I think a couple times.
Yeah.
Is there an high-end NBA player who never played in the finals? Ewing was in one. Elijah on 1-2. I can't think of someone who's high-end, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, McLovin.
Dominique.
Dominique did not play in the finals.
And I don't think Vince Carter, who's a Hall of Famer.
I don't think Vince played in any finals either. Did Tracy McGrady play in the finals? I don't know out of the top, like, 20 players all time. Is there somebody who never played in an NBA Finals? First ballot guys. They're a first ballot NBA player who never played in an NBA Finals. Iverson was in an NBA Finals. I'm trying to think just off the top of my head.
Any old school guys like a George Gervin, like a big score guy?
Ice didn't play in an NBA Finals, I don't think.
Was he a great player or just a great scorer? A guy like that.
I think he would be considered just a great scorer. But he would be unstoppable now. I mean, he had that ability. He got a mid-range jumper, but he was so slithery getting to the hoop and had finger rolls, and he had a way about him that he was going to score on you. The question is, how much? Yeah, Paulie.
I don't think Steve Nash made an NBA Finals, did he? Not with Dallas and not with Phoenix. He might be the best NBA player to never make a final.
He did not make an NBA Finals.
Chris Paul?
Chris Paul has not made one.
Those guys are similar to Phil Rivers.
But Nash was a two-time MVP.
Right, Nash is even better.
Yeah, Nash was a better player in his sport than Philip Rivers.
Right.
Chris Paul was all, maybe that's a fair comparison, maybe, with Chris Paul. I'm curious, if you look at the top 20 list, the top 20 of all time in the NBA, is there anybody we're leaving out who never played in an NBA Finals that we haven't mentioned? Yeah, Paul.
I got the list here, and those are the two best. There's guys like Paul George, Chris Webber, Vince Carter. There's some old school guys, but Carmelo Anthony, George Gervin.
Yeah.
Dominique Wilkins was correct.
Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, Carmelo's like a kind of a Hall of Famer because of Syracuse, right? So they combine them for
basketball.
Well,
that's what people forget is that it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. And Carmelo's going in anyway. Even without a title at Syracuse, Carmelo would go in as a Hall of Famer, I would think. Anybody else on that list, Paulie?
That's pretty much everybody that's relevant. Joe Johnson. Oh. Apologies for not leading with that. Yeah. Joseph Johnson.
He hasn't been to the finals yet. Yeah. We don't even know where he is.
Yeah. Joe Johnson could be still playing somewhere.
I think he made the Big Three Final Four in the Big Three.
Oh,
league.
Did he? Oh,
okay. Checking.
Yeah.
Sidney Moncrief, Jermaine O'Neal.
Keith in Virginia joins us. Hey, Keith, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. 6'1", 230. Love the music. Makes me feel like I'm on a Johnny Carson show when I'm waiting. Terry, I have two questions, real quick questions. McLovin kind of stole my thunder with the poll question, but being that Philip Rivers just retired, would you take the career of Philip Rivers or Tony Romo? And also, I got a second question. I heard you talking about surgery. I had my first colonoscopy a couple weeks ago. Does that count as a surgery?
No, that's a procedure, I think. But I'm glad you did that. Don't wait till you're 50. Don't. They tell you, well, when you get to 50, have a colonoscopy. Don't wait. If you're in your 30s, do it. If you're in your 40s, do it. Don't wait till you're 50. And then once you do it, then you get 10 years in between the next one. But I would say it's a procedure, the colonoscopy is. At least sources close to me tell me that it would be a procedure. This in from Alabama, Matt Zenith is a senior SEC reporter for Alabama.com. He says that Doug Marrone has been hired to coach the offensive line at Alabama. He's already in town in Tuscaloosa, and he comes to Alabama after four seasons as the head coach of the Jacks. Yeah, we had gotten wind of that a couple of days ago, so they made it official. Doug Marrone. This is one of those, ESPN used to be this way, not as much now, where coaches would get fired, and then they would come into ESPN as an analyst. And then they would hang around for a year. They'd get some TV time. Some would stay a little bit longer, but they really just wanted to come in, recharge their battery, and then they would hopefully get another opportunity there. And this coaching cleanse that you had, you go through the ESPN car wash, the coaching cleanse, and that's what Alabama's doing. It feels like Nick Saban, you bring him in. Hey, Steve Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin, Doug Marrone, come on in. They talked about Adam Gase maybe going there, but it just feels like, hey, I can go in there, get cleansed with the Alabama holy water, and then get an opportunity to coach elsewhere. There are a lot of thoughts, I think, about Kyrie Irving, and I wanted to bring that up. He talked to the media yesterday, had a press conference, and he spent a lot of time talking, but he didn't say much in spending a lot of time talking, if that makes sense. And, he has an approach to the media, and there's a certain irony in this with Kyrie. He has that vibe of just leave me alone. But the more he does that, the more the media wants to know. And he told reporters yesterday that he left the team because, quote, he needed a pause. Which I have no problem with, except for when you don't let the team know that you are leaving the team for a pause. And he's still vague on that. If things at the Capitol, as had been reported, bothered him so much that he wanted to leave, and for whatever reason, like I'm that's fine. You know, the people, you know, players have left teams for different reasons. And as long as you let the team know, when the GM says, I hope he has a good excuse. You know, Steve Nash didn't know where his player was. Yeah, see.
Why? So he said yesterday he had a lot of family and personal stuff going on. He just wants to leave it at that. Why isn't that enough?
But he didn't let anybody know that up front.
Well, he let, according to the original story, he let everybody know except for Steve Nash. He texted the entire team, and that somehow Steve Nash was left off that text or something like that.
Okay,
that's the original story.
The GM didn't know. The GM and the coach did not know. His teammates knew.
Yeah.
He can leave if he wants to check out and, hey, look, I got things I got to take care of. Okay. But he didn't let your coach know? And he's always talking about being professional. And he wasn't professional with Steve Nash. And he wasn't professional with his general manager. That's my... You have issues, go take care of those personal issues. And I don't need to know what it is.
It kind of feels like people do need to know.
Well, they want to know.
Because they want to know if it's the Capitol, then okay, then just walk away. That's fine. But, I mean, if he just says that he has family things going on, he's got personal things going on, then that should really be it.
Well, then he is at a party. He's got a mask, no mask on, and it's a birthday party. And then now he's got to spend time in COVID protocol. I don't know. It was just poorly handled. It just was. And, you know, he has a public job. You know, the argument's something like this. Fans basically pay the salaries. Players have responsibility to explain why they're playing, how they're playing, why they aren't playing. The media then is the conduit between the players and the fans. And I know there's gray area, but Kyrie clearly doesn't trust the media for whatever reason. But people are curious. And look, if he wasn't a great player, nobody would care. But the Nets are contenders. He's a very good player. The media is going to be even more focused on him, even if he has no interest in speaking to the media. Yes, he.
It's kind of a funny segue to talk about not trusting the media. And up next, we'll have on Bob Kravitz to break down Deflategate.
Wow. Wow.
Segue.
Yeah. Bob Kravitz, who used to work at the Indianapolis Star, broke the story of Deflategate. And that was January 19th, 2015. Deflategate began about 12:55 a.m. when he filed the story. And Bob Kravitz is going to join us because he's maybe had an epiphany here. Maybe he was wrong. And really the key in all of this is, and as much as I love Mort, and I was lucky to work with Chris Mortensen for 18 years, the next day after that column came out, Chris Mortensen tweeted that 11 of 12 of the Patriots footballs came in 2 pounds per square inch lighter than the rules allow. And Bob Kravitz says, I had no reason to doubt Mort or his source. He's broken 1,000 stories. And 999 have been right on target, but this is one that he missed. But then he goes on to say there could have been somebody in the NFL home office who was part of this in feeding the incorrect information to the media, Chris Mortensen. I mean, come on. Man. Bob will join us, and I don't know if he regrets doing this. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe clarifying. And I think he was part of a documentary, and the documentary is called Four Games in Fall, and has to do with the Patriots. But as Bob says, I know something about Deflategate. I broke the stupid story. Well, I don't know if people thought, remember we would have scientists that came on and we're talking all of this nonsense. First of all, quarterback should be able to do whatever he wants to do. The rule is flawed. We can all agree on that. Aaron Rodgers overinflates a football. He didn't get suspended. There was no controversy. And Tom Brady had it a little bit less. It's when you lie, that's when you start to have a story here. You know, was Brady telling the truth? How much of the truth? Who else was involved in it? Did they actually deflate the footballs? It goes back to they should allow you, your quarterback, to do what he wants to do with the football, and you get to do what you want to do with the football. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. It was silly, but then once the NFL went to the mat, they were not going to go, you know, on second thought, I think we made a mistake here, Tom. Our bad. I wonder if you ever find out who that person is inside the NFL, and all of a sudden Brady goes, you know, I think I might sue the NFL here. After he's done, after like 2 years from now, can he still file a lawsuit? Is statute of limitations still there? Because whoever that was who may have leaked this information, that's the story. Because that changes the story for me. Do I think they deflated the footballs? Yes. Do I care? Absolutely not. You lost 45-7 and you go, they deflated the footballs. No, they deflated your damn ego. They deflated your spirit. They deflated the football. Wow. That's incredible. What an advantage. They deflated the footballs. Imagine if they hadn't deflated the footballs. They probably would have won 45-7. Yeah. By the way, sign up for the DP Show newsletter. Available daily at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Sign up, danpatrick.com. Enter your email address. And I've said before, I'll say it again. Backroom guys do a great job on this, summing up everything that happens on the show. They did a great job yesterday with the Tennessee Volunteer stuff. And that's every day, Monday through Friday, it comes out, sent right to your email. And if you missed the show, even if you saw or listened to every bit of the show, it still gives you more. Stat of the day is in there. We got our Traeger Meat Friday recipes in there. A lot of great things. So Backroom guys have done a wonderful job. Coming up on 19 after the hour, by the way, Dan Campbell has been hired officially, a 6-year deal for Dan Campbell with the Lions. Why 6 years? 6 years is a long time for a guy taking over the Lions. How about we go year to year?
He said he needed time to get the Lions to the Super Bowl, and they go, well, about 60.
6 years for Dan Campbell. Yeah. There. 19 after the hour. We'll take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, I know I'm always the bearer of bad news when it comes to somebody trying to steal your credit card or information, your social security number. And there's so many ways that they're doing it now. And that's why, instead of me telling you another reason why, how about I just say, get LifeLock. LifeLock is the leader in identity theft protection. Every day, we put so much information out there on the internet. And you could miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit. That's why you need LifeLock. Detecting a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. If you lose your identity, it can take years to get back. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses. LifeLock sees threats you might miss on your own. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year. Make sure you use the promo code Patrick. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. The promo code is Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Go the extra mile. Very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules. Visit FoxSportsRadio.com or DanPatrick.com by January 24th. Mercedes-Benz vans. Saw the headline yesterday, and it was from Bob Kravitz. And it says, was I wrong about Deflategate? Question mark. 6 years later, it's still complicated. I go, wait a minute. What is going on here? We got to hit the Wayback Machine. We're still trying to figure out Deflategate. Longtime columnist for the Indianapolis Star, friend of the show, Bob Kravitz, senior staff writer for The Athletic. Bob, what the hell's going on here?
Well, you know, I got a chance to see this documentary, Four Games in Fall. And, you know, I found it very compelling. I found it very one-sided, but I found it very compelling. And I thought, you know, over the years, I've had a chance to read more about Deflategate because I have no life. And it raised some questions in my mind that I did not have previously. Have I come over to the dark side? No. But it certainly, you know, if you like to think of yourself as a relatively open-minded person, there are certainly some pretty interesting elements to the documentary that make you think twice about it.
Okay, give me the biggest piece of information that you gleaned from this documentary that made you hit the pause and maybe have an epiphany on Deflategate.
Well, I think the history of Exponent. Now, I think that, and that's, of course, the company that did all the research for the Wells Report, and their history of being a doubt science entity, being a science for hire. If you look at some of the people they've represented over the years, they've produced results that were the desired results for certain companies. And I found that very off-putting. I was aware of that at some level as it was going on, but you know, 4, 5, 6 years later, it just struck me again as being very compelling.
Okay, take us back to that night. And you get ready to hit send. So the Colts just got roughed up by the Patriots. How do you get the information?
Well, first I went downstairs to the locker room and I did an hour-long post-game show, and I forgot my phone because that's the kind of thing I do. So I get back up to the press box, look at my phone, see a text from somebody saying, call me immediately. Call this person, get the information. I'm like, holy crap, what have I fallen into?
But what's the information?
The information is that the Patriots are being investigated for allegedly using deflated footballs.
Okay.
So it was 100% right. It was 100% right. So I spent the next, I don't know, 45 minutes or so looking for either confirmation or denial. And I was able to get confirmation from someone I felt very strongly about as a source, and said, let's let it roll. Let's let it ride. And tweeted it out, and then all hell broke loose.
I have a real problem with, it sounds like, feels like, there was somebody inside the NFL who was leaking bad information, slanted information throughout this process.
Well, I certainly think that, you know, Mort, who I respect, you know, more than just about anybody in our business, I think the NFL used him. I don't believe it was used by the league. I feel like I was just given some information that was 100% accurate.
But why would they use Mort, though?
Because of his status. Because, I mean, if you use Mort or Adam or whoever it might be, I mean, you get the most bang for your buck in that fashion, no?
Well, but I don't understand. It felt like we committed to this. Now we got to go to the mat and we got to bring Brady and the Patriots in here. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? They may have done this. Or it felt like there was a less heavy-handed way of approaching this from the NFL, Bob.
I agree. And look, you look at the NFL and the way they've looked into various issues over the years, the Ray Rice fiasco. I mean, these guys, they're incompetent in many ways. And I thought that they handled this incompetently. I think the media, to some degree, got caught in the dragnet to some degree. And you could also make the argument that we allowed ourselves to get caught in that dragnet.
I never cared about the footballs, but I don't know why the NFL cared about the footballs. The Aaron Rodgers came on the show and said he overinflates the football. Like, I think this has happened for decades here. Why all of a sudden the Patriots?
Well, I think because they do have the priors, and I think Don Van Natta and Seth Wickersham wrote a really good piece for ESPN.com, I think it was about 2 years ago, that in many ways this was a makeup call for the way they handled Spygate. And, you know, that was gate, they did not go to the mat. They took it easy on the Patriots for the most part. And so I think it was a makeup call to some degree. I think they're getting a lot of grief from a lot of other owners who feel like the Patriots play fast and loose with the rules. And I think this is how it came down.
Man, that's dangerous though, Bob.
Of course it is.
It's so dangerous.
And what's really dangerous is that the NFLPA gave Goodell unilateral power to rule on disciplinary issues. Yeah. And so whether you think the science was flawed, whether you think the investigation was flawed, they used the media in myriad ways, the bottom line is Goodell, for right or wrong, has the freedom, has the right to make the call, make the judgment call there.
What do you think now about Deflategate?
I still, and this is more a feeling, it's not provable, I think something happened. I think something happened. Here's the deal. I look at the science from Exponent or another company or another scientist, and I think, well, that makes sense. And then I read, then I watch the guy from MIT, Dr. Leonard, and I think, that makes sense. I don't know what classes you took at UD, but
none.
When I was at Indiana, I didn't take class. I mean, I took physics for poets. You know, I mean, the Gay-Lussac law. What the hell do I know about that? So, you know, when I read one Ivy League guy say they're guilty, I think that's probably the case. When I read another Ivy League guy who says that they are, I think, you know, I'm it's sort of beyond my comprehend is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just, they'd been doing this for years. This wasn't something new to beat the Colts. And other quarterbacks have told me privately that they've done this, that they should be able to do this, that this is one of those, well, that's the rule, and then we got you. And then, oh, you're lying to me. And then there's the deflator and all. I mean, it just felt like it careened out of control. It didn't need to. And the fact that you would try to do a makeup for Spygate, man, is that dangerous?
Yeah, it is. It Crazy. Absolutely is. Crazy. Yeah. I mean, look, when I broke the story, I thought this will be a 2-week story. They'll go, boy, was I wrong.
Do you wish you'd never?
No, I'm absolutely okay. Glad that I did.
Okay.
Because it was right, Dan. Whether they were guilty of it or not, what I wrote was that they are being investigated. That was 100% correct. Now, where I screwed up, and I made this point in my column the other day in The Athletic, was that I saw what Moore had written about 11 of 12 balls being 2 pounds per square inch underweight. Ran with it. And I'm not taking shots at Moore because, again, he's a friend and I think he's great at what he does. But he got used in that situation. And the mistake I made was using that as a jumping off point to viscerally react through tweets saying, you know, Belichick should have his head on a platter. That was a mistake by me. I got too far over my skis.
But this, now the real story is, and is somebody going to do the real story on who is the person inside the NFL who was leaking this false information? Because that's what I want to know. That's at the crux of a lot of this, it feels like, Bob. I don't, you know, the woman you spoke to who is part of the documentary, Julie Marin, she says the NFL deliberately lied about things, withheld information, and spent months digging into the construct to construct a narrative. To me, the fact that they could do this as arguably the most successful player in the league was pretty chilling.
Yeah.
That's the story. Like, they're doing this. They're eating their own. They're going after Brady.
No, I don't disagree with you. I'm not sure, you know, that's something they're ever going to be. You know, I mean, certainly I'm not going to talk about the people that I spoke with. Certainly Mort's not. I think Mort has done a bit of a mea culpa on it. I'm not completely sure, but I think he has acknowledged that the information was not correct. So, you know.
Did you ever speak to Brady?
I never have. I never have. I'd love to. I'd love to. I really would. I mean, I've got nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, they were They were investigating. I wrote that they were investigating. End of story.
Oh, this is one of those. It's attached to the Patriots, so it's going to live on forever. If it was,
if it was
the Bengals, nobody would care. But if it was the Patriots, it's Tom Brady, and it'll live on. It'll be part of the legacy of every one of those key ingredients there.
It'll be on my epitaph, sadly.
I was wondering, how many lines in to your epitaph do they mention Deflategate with Bob Kravitz? First line?
Yeah, got to be. And I'm not happy about that necessarily. I like to think that, you know, I've done 37 years of pretty solid work at some really good publications. So I would not like that to be the first line of the epitaph, but I'll take the second or third.
Yeah, but Keith Olbermann's going to be in the first line of my epitaph. How do you think I feel about that?
That's depressing.
No, that's we're forever intertwined, as you are with Deflategate.
Absolutely.
Bob, good to talk to you as always.
Good to talk to you, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. That's Bob Kravitz. He works for The Athletic. Indianapolis Star columnist for a long time. It's troubling that you had somebody inside the NFL. Now, not that I'm that naive, but hey, you know, we whiffed on Spygate. Now let's go after them because we have Deflategate. So two wrongs are going to make a right. You know, you went, it's like what they did with Ray Rice. Remember when the commissioner went too light on Ray Rice? And then we saw the video. The NFL doesn't handle these things very well. But that, to me, is nefarious. And why do you... It felt like, and I don't know this for a fact, that the owners said, hey, you got to go after them like you go after us. And I was told, Jerry Jones said to the commissioner, you got to go after them like you go after us. Now, does that mean that you're going to say, hey, let's create some false information? Do I think that there's something going on with the Patriots? Yes, I do. Do I care? No. If you had somebody who knew how Tom Brady wanted the footballs, I don't care. And I'm going to guess it wasn't just that one game. I'm going to guess it's been as long as Tom has been empowered to be able to say, this is what I want with the footballs, which is probably 15 years. But if somebody in the home office is sending out false information just to prove a point to get him back for Spygate, no matter what you think of the Patriots and Brady, no matter what, remove that and just say, how would you feel if this was going on? Yes, he.
Well, that documentary sort of gets at that it's not really Deflategate, but they call it Deflectgate, because at the time, League of Denial had just come out. The league was wrapped up in concussion issues, and they also had a huge problem with domestic violence at the time, and that this was sort of a, not drummed up necessarily, but it was like, well, this is a better story to take away from all of the real problems that the league is having.
Yeah. Hey, nothing to see over here. Come on over here, and we're going after Tom Brady. We go after the best players. You know, this is like the NBA with Michael Jordan. You know, was there something more to Michael going to play baseball? Would the commissioner go after Michael Jordan? And people still wonder that to this day. Did the NBA do enough? Was there something else there with Michael Jordan? Yeah, Paul.
So I'm looking at the timeline of this. After the story came out and Mort's story came out, and the story ramped up pretty big, Tom Brady, 2 days later, did a press conference, and I wonder if Tom Brady would have gone the other way in his press conference, because he denied everything. He said, we do nothing wrong. I've never instructed anybody. Nothing, nothing. There's nothing to see here. Nothing like this happens. He must have said it 30 times. I wonder if Brady would have gone the other way. Maybe they expected him to and said, like, yeah, we make the footballs how we like them, just like every other quarterback does and should, and it's no big deal. Of course we did it. And they probably would have been in like a small fine, and they're not going to make them forfeit a football game. And I wonder if the NFL was banking on that. They're like, hey, we're going to call you guys out. You guys are going to eat this one, and you take a little punishment, maybe lose a draft pick. But Brady went the opposite way. Yeah. He said, nothing has happened here. And then the story went from zero to 100.
Where is the Deflategate? Still one of the great nicknames of all time. Hey, how'd you get your name? It's just a coincidence. Yeah. Wasn't he losing weight and they called him the deflator? Was that also like they were trying to kind of massage this? So, of course, his name's the deflator. You know, he's been called that since he was a kid. Yes, yeah,
which is funny, too, because when you see analysts and they stop playing, like an NFL player will stop playing,
they get deflated.
And you look at them on TV and all of a sudden they lost 150 pounds. The one thing we always say is, oh, somebody let the air out of him.
Yeah, deflator.
Funny.
I don't know how much the deflator weighed before he let all the air out of himself. I haven't seen the deflator. Yes, McLeod.
You know what? One funny aspect, Spygate was the hardest penalty in the history of the NFL at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know they took it easy on the Patriots for a videotaping malfunction, you know.
Yes.
I do kind of get what they're saying, but like, I thought they came down pretty hard on Spygate, as I recall.
I thought they came down, you know, harder than they needed to on Spygate. I don't know. I didn't think it was that. You know what? Performance-enhancing drugs to me is I don't know if they treat that the way they do some of these other things that happen in the NFL. It's weird. It feels like it's selective justice sometimes with this. All right, let me take a break. We'll get some phone calls coming up. One of our favorites, Ross Tucker, is going to join us. He's working the AFC title game. So Ross will join us coming up. Give me your Ross Tucker impersonation,
please. Let's go. Let's get to the weekend already. Wednesdays suck.
Take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Coming up, we play the Philip Rivers career salary game and the Philip Rivers children game. That'll be coming up as well. By the way, my podcast, That Scene, the podcast where I interview actors and actresses about iconic scenes from their career. They're rolling out wide release to some of our older episodes, starting with Ralph Macchio. We talked about Karate Kid, Cobra Kai. Rosie Perez was maybe my favorite person I interviewed this past year, and that's saying a lot. She was in Do the Right Thing. Will Ferrell gave us a lot of details, too many details in the streaking scene in Old School. So you can see those. You can listen to those, danpatrick.com, and stay tuned as we continue to air new episodes on Amazon Music. Let me get to Lindsay in Wyoming. Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller, 135.56.
All right.
And you were on the subject of Philip Rivers and great athletes that never made it to a playoff game, whose career you'd rather have. So you brought up Philip Rivers, Steve Nash. You didn't bring up Major League Baseball, and I was thinking of Mike Trout, one of the greatest baseball players that ever lived and is living and has never made it to a playoff game. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Well, thank you, Lindsay. But his career's not over. Philip Rivers' career is over, and so is Steve Nash. Right now, Mike Trout, he's up there among the he's going to go down in baseball history as one of the greatest players of all time. And if he doesn't have any real postseason resume, then that'll stand out. We hold quarterbacks accountable when it comes to the playoffs. Not as much, it feels like, when you get to baseball. I mean, Mike Trout's 29. He's got another 10 years playing, probably another 7 years at an optimum level. Yeah, McLevin.
Our assistant stats guy, we call him the Basmanian Devil, sent a list of guys who didn't make the World Series. Ken Griffey Jr., that's a good one.
Yeah, but nobody holds him accountable for that.
Yeah, Andre Dawson, Ernie Banks, Ryan Carew, Frank Thomas.
They don't do that.
Ryan Sandberg.
They don't do that. But if you're a quarterback, then we want to know what you did in the postseason. Some people have pointed out 6-year deals are the result of teams that may have messed up with their head coaching hires recently, and they need to promise any candidate and actually themselves that they won't hit the eject button again too quickly. Tim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of The Athletic, San Francisco, sent that out. I don't need to give Dan Campbell 6 years. So I overcommit to somebody who is unproven. So now you didn't solve the problem. You made the problem worse. Dan Campbell would be thrilled to get a head coaching job, and you gave him 4 years. 6 years? It's not like I got to wait for an entire recruiting class to come in. This isn't college. Golly. That's why you're the Lions. We got to have Dan Campbell. We got to give him 6 years. If we don't give him 6 years, he's not coming. Where else was Dan Campbell going? He wasn't going to Philadelphia. He wasn't going to Texans. We got to give him 6 years. He wants 6 years. He's not budging. All right, we'll give him 6 years. We got to have Dan Campbell. I got to yell at Barry Sanders. I think Barry Sanders is going to join us here soon. He was part of the coaching hiring committee there, Detroit. All right, Philip Rivers' career salary game, Paulie.
You ready?
Yep.
Here's the music.
Okay.
I have some custom music, very special.
Okay. Probably haven't heard this before. Oh, I haven't.
17 seasons for Phil. Career salary for Phil Rivers, Dan. You're going to go first. You're going to have the only guess.
Why am I going to have the only guess?
Because we got to get to the Phil Rivers children game.
Oh, okay. $219 million.
I'm going to give you some points there. $243 million, including this
okay.
year.
Okay, all right. I was under.
A lot of kids to feed,
yes,
though, Dan.
Yes, he does. He has 8 or 9 kids.
When we started the show...
He had 9, right?
He has 9 children.
Okay.
Without knowing any of their names, none of us know any of Phil Rivers' children's names. Can anyone guess one of his children's names without... Just by a stab in the dark.
I'm going to start with you, Todd. Can you name one of Philip Rivers' children?
I'm going to go with a safe call of William.
William.
Great guess. He's wrong.
McLovin.
Filipina, the female version of Philip.
Mm.
Extremely wrong.
Seton O'Connor Jr. III.
I'm going to say Talon.
Talon.
T-A-L-O-N.
Yeah,
Talon.
Yeah. No, I got it. I just...
Also wrong. I'm going to give you a little hint, Dan. He has 6 girls and 3 boys as of this segment.
I'm going to say Sarah.
Yes, that's one.
Strong guess.
Do you want to go? You keep going until you get it wrong.
Grace.
Yes. you're 2 for 2.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay. On the table.
He's got 3 boys.
3 boys.
And this is a great name for a young quarterback.
Cade.
Oh, no.
Colt.
No.
Gunner.
Gunner is correct.
Oh!
Gotta name your kid Gunner.
We're crushing this game.
I was called Gunner when I was playing high school basketball, and that was a negative.
Good there. Job, man.
Gunner. Sarah and Grace.
You could pretty much say any name, you're probably going to get it. Or he would have a kid to make you right.
Yes. Hey, I don't have one of those, but I'm going to, like, Philip, he doesn't have a junior.
He does not.
Yeah.
As of today.
All right, final hour coming up.
Tiffany, his wife, is the one who should be retiring, by the way. She should retire.
Well, I'm hopeful that she is retiring.
Right. He should go pick up some jobs.
He's going to be doing high school football. I like Rivers. Whenever he was on, I liked him. And I thought he might go into TV, but he said he always wanted to be a high school football coach in his hometown. And he's going back there. So good for him. Final hour coming up. More phone calls. Talk to one of our favorites, Ross Tucker, working the AFC title games. He's expecting Patrick Mahomes to play. One more item as we close out the second hour. Friends from M Drive, I take a daily supplement called M Drive, and it's for driven people. You want to stay energized. You want to stay lean, strong. You want to eat right. You want to make sure you're sleeping well, and you have no plans on slowing down. It's a young man's game out there, but you don't have to play a young man's game. Over 10 years ago, M-Drive was created by an elite scientist, and he made it for himself to fight back against aging. He didn't let age and didn't want to let age beat him. So how do you feel every morning? Tired? Gaining weight? You lose your drive? Don't want to eat? Don't want to work out? Try M-Drive for yourself. Everyday supplement for driven men, and they have other things there on their website as well that you'll love. Energy, strength, drive. Go to mdrivedan.com today. You're going to get free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com. That's mdrivedan.com. Refind your prime with M-Drive.